Our scripture reading this morning will come from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 through 16. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 through 16. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in the word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourselves entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourselves and those who hear you. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. Here's Brother Farron.
This morning, I want to ask you a soul-searching question. Every one of us in this room believe in God. We believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. If you did not believe that, you would not be here. But my question to you is this. Why do you have this belief? Why do you believe in God and His Son and the Holy Spirit? You know, from our text that we read in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, it is an example that they use the word belief in this passage to refer to the Christian. So have you ever been asked this question? Why do you believe? Well, what about these questions? Why are you a Christian? Most of us here in this room today are Christians. Have you ever considered the thought as to why you are a Christian? Why do you believe the Bible? And why do you obey it? Why do you believe that there is a God? He is an entity that cannot be seen. He cannot be heard other than reading His Word. Why do you believe in Him? Why do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And you know, you may think about that and you think, well, these are some redundant questions. I just do. I just believe. Well, that's not an answer, folks. And you may think to yourself, well, this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to have this kind of belief. Well, that's a true statement. But again, that is not an answer to the question. I want us to explore today why we believe what we believe in God. You know, Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 15, that we can answer this question. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now, what Peter is actually doing here, he is actually telling us three things. And there we go. He's actually telling us three things to do. First of all, he is saying, don't be afraid. Who will harm you if you become followers of good? And even if you do suffer because of your righteousness, you are blessed in the fact that you have suffered for your Lord. And then Peter tells us, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. In other words, what he is saying here is that God should have a special place in your heart. And you should be ready to reverence Him. You should be ready to honor him in every way. This means that his will should take precedence over your will and over the will of other people. And then thirdly, Peter tells us that we need to be ready to give an answer. Now, this doesn't just simply mean knowing all of the answers to all of the questions. You know, I've been accused many times by people who say, "Oh, you Church of Christers, y'all just think y'all got the answer to everything." Any of y'all ever been told that before? I have many times. Well, no, I don't have the answer for everything, and neither do you. But I know where to go to get the answers. The answers are in God's book. There is one thing that I do know. There is a lot more to being a Christian than knowledge. Knowledge is only the beginning. Peter is saying it's more than knowledge. It means that you're able to explain the basis of your hope. It means that you have a strong desire to live for God in your life. It means that you have great expectations as a child of God. It means that you have a great desire and that you have a great confidence in your future as a child of God, even if it means persecution, even if it means suffering. Peter is saying this is why you should believe. So again, I ask the question, why do you believe? Do you believe out of fear or love? Romans 13, verse 7. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Now, I don't have to tell anyone this, but we're at the first of the year. Now we have to start dealing with tax season. It's a dreaded time. I despise this time, having to put all this information together to get it ready to take to the IRS. Well, let me ask you this. Do you plan to pay your taxes this year? Why? Why do you plan to pay your taxes this year? Could it be because you're afraid the IRS will come and get you if you don't? Yeah. You can believe they will come and get you if you don't. But is that why you pay your taxes? Have you ever thought that by paying your taxes that you are guaranteeing yourself to continue in the benefits and the blessings of being a part of this country? Because we all know that we have it so far better than most countries on the face of this earth. I mean, who wants to be in Asia or in Eastern Europe right now because of the things that are going on over there? You see, fear is a characteristic of a slave. It is the characteristic of the slave of a cruel and heartless master. Some are believers in God only because of their fear of hell. A person who believes in God for this reason, this person will obey only out of necessity. They will only obey grudgingly. They're never going to put the kingdom of God first in their lives. They're never going to deny themselves so that they can take up the cross and follow Jesus. They are working out of fear. Fear of the heartless master who tells them if they don't, he's going to send them to hell. Well, my friends, I want you to know that my God is not a God of fear. He is not some heartless master. In fact, we are told, 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Yes, we are told to fear God. We are told to fear God and to keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. But this meaning of fear, as it is being used here by Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, this is a fear of reverence. It is the fear of respect for God and for God's authority. This is holy fear. Holy fear is described as almost the same thing as love. And my friends, it is love, not fear, that is our motivation for believing. 1 John 4, verse 18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love." You see, my friends, there is no fear where there is love. Mature love casts out fear. Where there is genuine love, fear does not exist. So again, the question is asked, why do you believe? Do you believe out of fear or out of love? Do you believe out of fad or conviction? Now, the word fad, by definition, means a practice of interest that is followed for a time with exaggerated zeal, but then fades away and is replaced by something else. Now, when you think about a fad, examples of a fad would be maybe the clothing that you wear. Some of you may remember the bell-bottom pants, the big collars on the coats that I wore as a teenager in the early, mid-70s. You don't see those anymore, do you? You see something totally different today. If I walked in here with my double-breasted coat and my bell-bottom pants, you would wonder about me, wouldn't you? Yeah. Now, back in the 50s, the fad was the hula hoop. Do we have any hula hoopers in here? Yeah. Oh, Mike's pointing. Yeah. In the 70s, there was the pet rock. Now, I'm going to let y'all in on a little history of Farron Hamner. I had my very own pet rock. His name was Harry Herman. He had big eyes. He had an orange rock for a nose. And he was as hairy as you could get. And I threw him in my grandfather's creek. It may be all the way to the Atlantic by now, for all I know. But Harry Herman was my rock. You know, sometimes fads can be religious. Many people obey because someone else obeyed. Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong to be influenced by someone to obey the gospel. I think that's a wonderful thing, because we all influence each other for good as Christians. But in many cases, the followers don't have the dedication. And the only reason they responded is because someone else responded. Someone else was getting attention that they wanted. And so they follow. And it may be that they will actually follow Christ with great zeal for a while. But then when that zeal is gone and something else comes along, well, they will drop Christ. They have what Paul referred to in Romans 10, chapter 2, verse 2, as zeal without knowledge. That's a fad. But now conviction. Conviction is something totally different. Conviction is defined as a strong persuasion or belief. The Greek word for persuade is pytho. It is Strong's number 3982. It is used here to bring about a change of mind by an influence or a reason or a moral change in life. Paul had conviction. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, or excuse me, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, he said, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know who I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him until that day." Paul, the Apostle Paul, loved Christ, and nothing could move him from that. His conviction was there. Unfortunately, today, many are not fully persuaded to have this conviction. They have left their first love, as one of the churches of Asia did. And almost anything can cause someone to move away from God. Maybe a hardship in life that you have experienced has questioned your faith and has caused you to move away from God. Perhaps you have been ridiculed because of your belief, and therefore you are persecuted as a result of that. Perhaps you have found interest in other things, worldly things, that have turned your head away from God. Some pretty shiny little thing that you just had to have, something you just had to try, or somewhere you just needed to be. It could even come from family and friends who have caused you to look and see things differently. So again, the question is, why do you believe? Fad or persuasion? Why do you believe? Are you fake? Or are you sincere in your belief? Now, first of all, let's define the word fake. The word fake, by definition, means to simulate. It means a counterfeit, an imitation, an imposter. There is nothing genuine about a fake. A fake is worthless. He has imitated the genuine thing in a way that is less important to him. To be fake is to be a hypocrite. Some people actually fake their belief in their God. In Matthew chapter 23, Christ alone says some seven times, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites," he calls them. You see, they're not sincere. They literally play a life of acting and pretense. They deliberately plan to please themselves and obey others in the process. Many times they do it for personal gain, to see how ahead they can get with their fake lives. One who is faking will sneak around to do the wrong thing. They will never get involved, and it is foolishness to them, the thought of God and obeying God. On the other hand, sincerity is real. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 10, Paul said that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Now, this, friends, can only happen with more knowledge of God's Word. And with this knowledge, then we will be able to approve those things which are excellent in our lives. Our hearts will be sincere. Our hearts will be pure. There will be no double-mindedness within us. There will be no deceit. So again, we ask the question, is your belief out of being fake? Or is it out of sincerity? Why do you believe? Is your belief out of fear? Or is it out of love? Is it a fad? Come on now. Is it a fad? Or is it conviction? Is it fake? Or is it sincere? These are choices that you will make about your faith, your love, your devotion to Christ. We need to remember that it is possible to serve God for the wrong purpose. But we also need to remember it is necessary to serve God for the right purpose. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, he said, examine yourselves as to whether you are in faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. Christian friend, if you see that your belief, your faith in God is not what it should be, if you see that it is fake, if you see that it is not real, that it is not genuine, you need to make changes in your life to make yourself an original Christian once again. To give God what God deserves, not because you think you have to, but because you want to, because you are dedicated to Him, because you love Him, because you honor Him. And fill your life with that love and that conviction. And today, my friends, if you are not a Christian, I dare say that your life is filled with fear. I dare say that you are not convicted to the Lord. You have no genuine relationship with Him. But you can today by giving your life to Him. Change your life today by becoming a child of God or rededicating your life to Him. If you are subject to the invitation, please come while we stand to sing this song.